Is guacamole a fruit salad?
What is the best milkshake for bringing boys to the yard?
Ostriches are dinosaurs.
Don't piss off old people. New game.
What do you mean it gives you Arby's mouth?
Artisanal muck duck balls.
I think they call that auto fellatio.
I want to high five a shark.
Welcome to Bar Banter. Relax, have a drink with us as we debate the most controversial topics in the world today.
On today's podcast, it's on the flask.
Gosh, I want that. And it's my iPad because I forgot. Funny story about this. I printed it off at work today, this morning, when I went into work, and I forgot it on the printer.
Great.
So tomorrow morning, when the first person comes in, they're just going to find a random photo of The Rock in a turtleneck. on the printer and have no idea where it came from.
That's so good. Wait, let me get a picture. Four. Is that what it is? Everyone look like you're laughing. Ha ha ha. Got it. Good job, guys. Proud of you. Rick looks like he's really laughing.
You're welcome.
On today's podcast, we talk about who is the best supporting actor. If aliens came to Earth and said, take me to your leader, who should we take them to? And lastly, we start a new segment called Beer Splaining, where we take an established, defined thing and come up with our own definition. Today's Beer Splaining is going to be, what is the internet? But first, Daniel Wasby, joining us for a short period of time. What are you drinking?
So right now I'm having the naturally essenced pamplemousse flavor of LaCroix.
You would.
And what are you drinking today?
I found something I didn't know existed, and I'm so happy about it. This is the Arizona green tea hard version with 5% alcohol.
So hard.
I saw it in a random gas station as I was driving around today, and I absolutely had to have it. This is my first sip, so let's see.
Oh, we're witnessing the first sip.
Tastes like Arizona green tea with a little bit of alcohol in it.
Nice.
So I'm down. Yeah. Ben, what are you drinking?
Yeah, so right before I came to the bar, I did some yard work, mowed the lawn, and for me, nothing's better after mowing the lawn than a Miller Lite. So I am crushing Miller Lights tonight. Loving the light beer after yard work. Rick, what you drinking?
Continuing my local beer tour. I am doing a New Realm Beach Bounty Lime Lager. Had I had been doing yard work, I would have enjoyed a lager with lime. But I live in an apartment right now, so no yard work for this guy. Travis, what are you drinking?
I, too, found something that I finally needed to try. I think we've talked about it on this podcast. I've got the Beast Unleashed, the Monster.
Ooh, 6%.
6% hard white haze seltzer. I've already been drinking it, so you're not witnessing the first one. This is my second.
Could have lied.
No,
does it have caffeine in it?
It does not have caffeine in it.
Okay, I was like,
I don't think so.
So it's not like the new Four Loko?
I don't think it has caffeine, but I get real jittery in about 20 minutes.
We'll find out at 5 a.m. this morning when Travis is texting us.
Still awake when I wake up tomorrow, I'll know.
I can tell you, does it taste like Monster? Yes. Does it taste like Monster with extra alcoholic chemicals? Yes. It's not the best. Like, take Monster, add a really cheap vodka, and add more of a chemical taste.
You sold
that's
me.
This one. Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. Not great.
So more disgusting than your typical Monster.
Yeah. I will not be purchasing this again.
Out of curiosity, is it like the normal Monster, or is it like the sugar-free kind of cans Monster taste?
I'm glad you asked, Rick.
And you know, because is it the white can or blue can?
I love when there's a visual component.
So this is the one I'm currently drinking. This one is supposed to be the white one.
Ah, yes.
The one I have not opened and tasted is the green
one.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm ready for it.
Glad we're still keeping the can design. Good.
The Kroger had a variety pack of three cans of four flavors. And I already had the mixed berry one, which was meh. The white one is meh. I'm hoping the green one's like, dude, this is great.
It won't be.
But we'll see how that goes. You'll see how it goes. It just, like, I feel like it really, like, supports the narrative of what we're trying to do. Just really, like, provides a lot of support to what we're doing and how. Wow.
So, but you wouldn't call it the main.
No, it's not going to be my main like, drink. It's just supporting.
Not like out there in front, you know, really taking the limelight.
Right. Yeah. Not a definitely supporting cast of flavors. Guys, who is the best supporting actor? And I want to preface this by saying that this should be a person. Well, yes, they may have been the lead in a movie at one point, but their career, they're not generally known as a lead actor. So, yes, Brad Pitt was a supporting actor in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's not a supporting actor, right? That's not him. He's a lead actor. So there's going to be some wide parameters. We may have to rule some people out, but like, think of someone who is mostly a supporting actor and who is the best version of that. Danny, do you have any off the top of your head? If you say no, that's okay. I'll go to someone else. Best supporting actor. Go.
I don't
fair
I don't
enough. Who had Rick? Rick's ready. Rick,
I'm ready.
Best supporting actor. Give it to me.
I'm okay. If we want to say they're not the quote best supporting actor, but I will say they're my favorite supporting actor. Mm-hmm. And if this individual is in a movie, I'm going to love that movie. It doesn't matter, just because I need more cowbell, if you will. I need more of this person. I would love to see them as a main character or the main actor of a movie. And also, if I learn that he has been, I'm leaving the podcast tonight immediately and going to watch it. For me, Ian McShane is one of the best supporting actors. So Winston from John Wick, for those who don't know who Ian McShane is, just he's great. He plays like a niche role in almost all of the films he's in. And so I get it, but there are also ironically one with The Rock, I think it's Hercules, where he plays not his normal role because he's normally like the bad guy or like a dark, mysterious supporting, you know, side character kind of thing. But I love him. I think he's great. So that's my pitch.
He didn't come up in my research, but looking at most of his filmography, he would fit the bill as a supporting actor in my opinion. So that I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if I'd give him best, but a strong contender.
Yeah, I'm not mad.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I'm not mad. He's my favorite. I'm willing to, if he doesn't win, that's okay.
Dude, I love Ian McShane. Like, that is a solid, solid pick. He's
been in so much.
And he's had a career for like 40 years as an actor. And he's still, like, the supporting actor roles he gets now are still big ones. Like,
and he does a lot of voice acting too, because he's just got that like dark, kind of gravelly. He's really good at doing the like monologue.
Yes, he's the narrator in a lot.
Type roles. Yeah,
he's been in Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, he was in American Gods. He was kind of.
Yeah, that one I would be willing to like. I was prepared for a fight.
I would all. That one. Yeah, no. I would. I mean, he wasn't main character, but he was definitely one of the main people.
Right.
All right, I'll go. And mine was actually pretty easy for me. I had a couple of backups, but. This was so easy for me. This is an actor. Again, Rick, you say Ian McShane's in a movie, you want to see it. When this actor is in a movie, I want to see it. And he's had one or two lead roles over his 40-year career, but 99% of his roles are supporting roles, and all of his awards that he's won are for all supporting roles. Rick, it's funny that you said you need more cowbell, because my guy needs more cowbell. And that is Christopher Walken.
Good choice.
So Christopher Walken, amazing supporting actor. I mean, the list goes on, like Seven Psychopaths, Wedding Crashers, Rundown, heck, Balls of Fury. Like he can do different genres, but it's always funny. And he is just like the epitome of supporting actor. Like everyone knows him. He should be a lead actor, but he's only had a couple of lead roles.
And everyone's got like specific quotes associated with him.
Right.
My specific one is Balls of Fury, or as the Chinese call it, Ping Pong.
Ping Pong. Absolutely.
I like that one. That's a good pick, Ben. So he's in a lot more than I realized. Like,
he's everywhere. Scrolling.
Massive. Yeah.
Like, I knew he was in a lot, but going back and just looking at pulling up his name on IMBD, just
that's Joe Dirt.
But yeah, I like that one.
Samar, and I respect it. Good pick. I went a little more, I don't want to say serious, but more. I just feel like this person elevates the movie that they're in. You could get, if you say this is a lead actor, I wouldn't be, it's possible. Let's for sure. It. And I can't say that I'm excited to see him in a future movie because he's not no longer with us. But give me Philip Seymour Hoffman. Just a incredible actor, top to bottom. Always a guy who takes that secondary role. Doesn't necessarily steal the spotlight in terms of a big overdramatic performance. But to me, steals the spotlight in terms of his acting is just so good. It stands out to me. And most of the time, whether it be in Moneyball or Scent of a Woman or Charlie Wilson's War or Mission Impossible or The Hunger Games, he is a like standout person in those, but isn't the lead. And that to me, what makes like, he just elevates, he makes that movie just a little bit better because he's on it. So give me Philip, the late great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I like that pick. And I'm okay if they have, because to me, it's what do they stand out as in your mind? Yes. Like if you have a couple of movies where you happen to be the main character, whatever, but I to me, he fits. Like, okay. I don't think of him as a main character.
I think he does. Yeah, like Capote is like the only one that he was a lead in that I know really of. Other than that, he's always been a secondary person. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Someone could make the case, but it'd be a really difficult case to say that he's
I really like. Well, and he did some comedies too, like Along Came Polly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
He was in Patch Adams.
Patch Adams.
He was in Patch Adams.
He was the roommate.
Also in Big Lebowski.
Yep. Good memory.
And he's just a very versatile. And I feel like he's the person where, like, even if I don't think this movie is phenomenal, when he shows up on screen, whatever that scene is.
Yep.
And specifically, I'm thinking The Hunger Games because I'm a basic B. I love The Hunger Games. But when he came out as Plutarch Heavensby, every scene that he had was just
so good.
Absolutely phenomenal. He played that role like he was not in a movie that was made for young adult audiences.
Right.
So yeah, that actually, Travis, so leading into mine, that was my backup. And so I'm glad you made that decision for me. My first pick is a little bit more on the comedy side, the other guys, but Craig Robinson, who had like just supporting comedic actor in so many things.
Oh, yes.
Movies like Hot Tub Time Machine, This Is the End, Zach and Mira Make a Porno, but then also recurring characters on sitcoms like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Office. And he always kind of plays that like almost straight face to the people that he's talking to as like the actors in the scene, but almost like breaking the fourth wall kind of character. Like the comedy's more for the people watching than it is for like everyone in the actual scene itself. So he's my pick. I just have seen him in absolutely everything. And he's one of those people like, what is his name again? But you just see him in everything.
Yeah.
I like that pick. And I've also watched Hot Tub Time Machine a lot this week because it's on Max. And
I've been going back through Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and him as Doug Judy is one of my favorite characters, like recurring role as Doug Judy, his arch nemesis, Andy Samberg's arch nemesis, is just absolutely freaking hilarious to me every time.
I didn't know Rick was into documentaries so much, but yeah.
I am. I'm a big documentary fan.
Yeah.
Especially when it revolves around time travel.
And hot tubs.
Right.
Specifically.
For separate reasons.
right.
I don't know if we'll be able to pick one.
Yeah,
they're all really good.
I really like all those answers.
I didn't, the one that didn't stick out to me was Ian. I don't remember his last name. That is, and that's good. Yeah, McShane. I just, yeah. Good guy. Just didn't, of the four of us, that was the one I was like,
Yeah, it doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I like all that were presented. And again, I understand that Ian is a little niche, and I don't understand why I feel like I love him so much, but I do. So I'm
because you okay want to be him when you grow up.
I don't know about that.
Rick, I think I get it, because like my backup is kind of like on the Ian McShane. He's a little bit more well known, but not by a ton. So my backup was Neil McDonough, and you know, he always plays the bad guy. You know, he was in Bad Guy in Walking Tall. He's been a bad guy in Yellowstone and a bunch of other stuff. He was Bison in Street Fighter. So
throwback. He was in Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
Yeah,
that, movie cannot fall asleep to.
So good. But then he was the bad guy in Game Over Man with the guys from Workaholics.
Yeah.
So like he's had a very long career, and he's pretty much always the bad guy.
Yep.
But I love it when he's the bad guy. He just makes such a good one. So kind of like that Ian McShane level where he's not like top supporting actor, but like I want to see it.
And he plays it well.
But if I'm if we take Neil into consideration, I would put Neil above Ian because
I'll fight you on that one. The other one I wouldn't, but this one I will.
Because
I'll go 1A, 1B. 1A, 1B.
Well, I'm talking about getting rid of. I'm talking about 4 or 5, not 1A, 1B. Because Neil is, he's in more stuff that I've seen.
Yeah, I personally think it's more recency bias than it is.
And that's fine. But I think he does his job a little bit better than Ian. I don't know. I'll have to go back and watch. We'll have a movie.
Let's take Neil out of it. I'm okay with Ian not winning.
Okay.
Because I knew going into it, but he is my favorite supporting actor.
So if you had to pick between the three of us, Rick, if you had to pick between Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken, or Craig Robinson.
Oh my God.
They're all very different. Two semi-comedic ones.
I think it would either be Christopher Walken. I think it would either be Christopher Walken or Greg for me. I think
Craig,
I would rule out
Craig
Philip Seymour Craig. Hoffman.
Okay.
And I think it's the same reason, like I can only think of like off the top of my head a couple movies he's in, whereas the other two,
that's fair,
they're in more.
All right, and I want to throw out one more of my backups just as a complete...
Wait, hold on. Before we get to back, because I have like 20.
I just had the one other one that I was not sure
just,
if you guys...
Just
only get one more. Accept or not.
Let me...
Craig Robinson for Philip Seymour Hoffman because there are just scenes with him that stick in my mind as being...
Going Christopher Walken then.
Phenomenal.
Okay, so we're tied on Christopher Walken and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Dude, that sounds like an awesome tie. Like
that would be a great if we had a movie where both of them were in it and there was a lead, phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. We'll call it there. We'll come up with a tie between those two. They can share the trophy. Drew, what was your backup?
This one was hard because he's kind of risen in the ranks in recent years, but Cillian Murphy, he's the lead in Oppenheimer right now, but he was in 28 Days Later. He was the Scarecrow in Dark Knight. He was lead in Sunshine, 28 Days Later.
Yes.
Okay. He's in Peaky Blinders, though.
He was the main in Peaky Blinders. Yeah. That's why. He's been in absolutely everything. He's one of those few actors that I think has the chops to be in like A-list in everything he does, but kind of chooses not to.
Yeah, I would allow him as a supporting actor. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
But everything I see him in, I think he's amazing in. And I just think it's weird that he never got into that traditional mm-hmm. A-list role.
So my others were, and Rick, I had a feeling you might pick this person. I don't know why. He seems like your kind of guy. Is Ed Harris. Mm. You're looking him up right now because you don't remember who he is.
No, I remember who he is. I just need to know what movies they're in.
He's in Top Gun Maverick, Snowpiercer, Beautiful Mind, Truman Show, Apollo 13, The Right Stuff. I like Ed Harris. Yeah. He's always the bad guy kind of vibe. So he was one of mine.
I just can't explain the connection I have
with That's Ian. Fair. That's
like,
fine.
As soon as this topic came up, I didn't even research.
You got
I
was it. Like, you knew it.
Ian. Like
you got it. I also had J.K. Simmons because I think he was just born to play J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man. He's so good. The first two people that came to my mind was actually Steve Buscemi, consummate supporting actor, but I'm like, and I don't know why I always think of this guy, but Paul Giamatti, like, seems like a poor man's Philip Seymour Hoffman, but they seem similar, but Philip is much, much better. So those were my kind of backups.
Oh, and Rick, I am also surprised you didn't pick this person because he was up there for me, but Willem Dafoe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good one.
Yep.
For supporting just because of Boondock Saints, even though he's been in a billion things.
Yeah, no. I mean, there was a lot, like, if I had to sit down and research it, like, there's a lot of people that, but I just get, if I know Ian is in a movie, I get giddy.
Yeah.
I thought
Drew was going to try to convince us that Alan Rickman was a supporting actor.
I mean, God rest his soul, but no, he was an amazing, amazing actor in his own right, especially on the stage.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying he wasn't. I had him written down, and I was like, if Drew tries to make him a supporting actor, I'm going to be livid.
Oh,
like,
he's a lead in my heart forever and ever.
Fair enough.
Philip Seymour Hoffman and Christopher Walken were co-leads in 2012 in A Late Quartet.
I don't know that movie, but now I'm going to have to go watch it.
It looks like it's a quartet of people playing like violin and cello and stuff. But yeah, so co-leads, two of the three leads. The third lead was Catherine Keener, which was the woman who hooked up with the 40-year-old virgin for Steve Carell.
I think the fact that we haven't heard of that movie solidifies.
Correct. They are supporting actor. You're right.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, if we were all like, oh, that movie, my God, how do we forget it? That'd be one thing. But
Would you guys consider Will Smith as a supporting actor?
Stop.
Like, that one with the aliens?
It's too much. It's.
No, he's trying to make a segue.
Too much. I know.
He knows.
Yeah, I'm there. I know.
He knows.
He has this habit of pausing.
Do you got?
And be like, what do you?
Do you think that maybe
he has that like kind of inflection to it? That's like he's going into the world's shittiest segue.
Guys, aliens again. Because I feel like we've done an alien topic recently. Aliens again. Have come to Earth. This time, they approach the four of us on this podcast. Maybe Danny, if he's still here. I don't know. And they look at us. They come down from the ship. Oh, he's still here. He's just listening. They come down from their ship. All the smoke is billowing out. It's bright white lights. And these just alien figures come walking down. And for some reason, they know how to speak English. And they walk up to us and they say, take me to your leader. Who's our leader? Who are we taking these aliens to? I'll go first.
Please do.
I have so many answers.
Because I have my answer and
there's
I have
only
the
one
right
answer to this question.
Maybe. No, I have my answer and I have the right answer. I'll start with my answer and then we'll go through and I'll give the right answer if no one says it.
I thought, who would probably, one, be able to charm the aliens? You're not gonna, Rick, you have no clue what I'm about to say. You don't, you can uncross your fingers. And who's also most likely to probably be an alien because the guy doesn't age? I'm taking him to Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Just someone who, like, he's just going to be able to wing it. He has the chops to just be like, yeah, this is happening. Let's figure it out. Let's sit down. Let's talk it out. And again, you go back to the 90s. You go watch Friends. He looks exactly the same 20, 30 years later. It's incredible. The guy doesn't age. He's probably already one of them. So I'm just going to take the aliens to Paul Rudd, and he's going to deal with it for me. And that's my answer.
Nice. I'll go if nobody else wants to go. So, love Paul Rudd. If we were doing a favorite actor segment, he would be my choice. But as far as alien leader, look, I like the charismatic thing. I like the, you know, somebody who can talk to them. That's important. And my choice can do that too. You know, this is who I would want to take them to, who I see could be our leader, not necessarily mm-hmm. who's our actual leader. But Paul Rudd's missing something. He's a little too soft and squishy. You know, he doesn't have that intimidation build, who's also kind of lovable and charismatic. I've said his name on this podcast so many times, but I'm going to say it again because I love what he's cooking. But it's The Rock. You got to take him to The Rock. He's menacing. He can do the crazy, Samoan dance to scare them, but he can also, you know, be friendly with them and show them how to make like 12 decker pancakes, and like he can do it all. So it's The Rock.
That one specifically.
Yeah. Do I want, you know, 20-year-old Rock or 40-year-old Rock? But here's the thing, Travis, you talked about a guy who doesn't age. Look, The Rock is obviously aging, but he's what, 10, 15 years older than me? He can kick my ass. So it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson is my leader. And I will be happy if he turns out to be my leader someday in the future.
And he'd probably figure out how to put them into like a co-sponsorship deal for some new like energy drink or tequila or protein powder.
Monster, the beast unleashed. Not a sponsor.
I mean, just yet.
Good plug for
nice. You're right, Drew. Yeah, they could get some money off of him.
I'll go. And I love and appreciate The Rock. I know that Travis is not the biggest fan, but he is amazing. Mine,
pony.
Aliens are coming to Earth. And if they're coming to Earth, we're thinking that they already kind of know what we're about. If they're not coming to just conquer us, they want to know what we've got to offer. So we want to show them a good time. And the person who's going to show them the best time in the entire world and send them home on their way at the end of it is Bill Murray.
Good pick. Yes, Bill Murray over Paul Rudd. Bill Murray, yes.
Bill Murray's going to show up and be like, "What's up, guys?" And take them out on a night on the town, take them to a baseball game because he owns that one up in the northeast part of the states. I can't remember what the actual name of the team is right now. And at the end of it, he's going to take them by the shoulders as they're facing their spaceship and whisper in their ears, "No one will ever believe you." And then just send them on their way.
Yep.
And that'll be the end of it. Because he is the perfect man for dealing with alien presences in the world.
I love that answer. That is... what I hope Paul Rudd turns into is Bill Murray. So I'm all for yes. Rick, give us your answer and then I'll tell you guys the right answer.
Guys, you have to shoot your shot when the opportunity comes. If I meet aliens and they say, "Take me to your leader," we're not going anywhere else. I am he. I am the leader. And thus becoming the leader of the world. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm saying, you met him. What are the chances? I am the leader. And then we'll see what happens from there. Because if we've already met aliens, it's a wrap. It's game over. We're not equipped.
Doesn't really matter at that point.
Baby Fart McGee's act is coming down. I've accidentally discovered hyperdrive by Pinewood Derby. And yeah, That's it. I'm taking my shot. If no one's around, I'm the leader.
But what if all four of us were around? What if they came down and all four of us were together and they asked, you're just going to step up?
Then we are a ruling council.
Okay.
And it's an
oligarchy.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. If all four of us, I mean, it's our podcast. They're just along for the ride. So you're welcome. If I am there meeting the aliens, whoever is with me, I'd turn around and be like, this is our moment. What type of ruling body are we to make it where we're the leaders? If I'm alone, then it's just me. If you're lucky enough to be there, that's who the leader is.
I do like that.
It makes just as much sense as walking aliens up to Bill Murray's house and saying, here you go.
So the last one I want to throw out there, Debbie. I'm taking it to my mom.
Same thing. She's gonna, same idea.
She's gonna show them a good time. She's quote one of us. Like, I'm just taking a bit of debt. Like, I'm gonna let mom figure this out.
Yeah, we're gonna do shots.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you need a shot of Fireball? Oh, hold on, I'll be right back. No, stay here. Do you want two? Okay, hold on. Let me go get the bottle out of the freezer. Hold on. I also have finger sandwiches. Like,
you got to factor in the 15 to 30 minute tour of your dad's studio in the basement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The car, the studio. Oh, let me show you the pictures of my grandkids. Like, if she's either going to quickly assimilate them into our culture or drive them away. Either one.
Right.
She's going to be the ultimate peacekeeper, and we're going to be fine if we just bring them to Debbie.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that as well. Yeah. So right now we have Bill Murray, we have The Rock, we have Rick, and we have Debbie.
And I'm okay with either of those. I don't care, I can't do
The Rock. I will not take them to The Rock.
Travis, take your bias out of here.
No. No.
Why do you hate The Rock so much? I don't,
because he's overrated. He's a one-trick pony. He does the eyebrow raise. He's got a deep voice. He's got big muscles. That's it. Ooh, I'm a big scary guy.
That's three tricks.
No, that's one trick. That's one persona. That's it. He's got nothing. He's not that good. Is he good? Sure. Good is also like a B, right? That's good. That's not great. He's not perfect. He's not amazing. Like, I don't understand the world's obsession with
The Rock. How many movies of The Rock have you watched?
Yeah.
If you only say Fast and Furious,
you're in the minority on this one.
I've seen a lot of them.
You're in the hefty minority on this.
The Jungle Cruise, San Andreas, Fast and the Furious, Jumanji, and there's one other one. I'm sure I've seen one of them.
Yeah, by what you named, I understand why you don't like The Rock, because you've seen like the worst.
Oh, and Walking Tall, duh.
Well, except for that.
Walking Tall was okay. That's Martin Walking Tall. Here's where I'm at. And Scorpion King. Walking Tall was.
Wow. Were you stand alone before the fury of his armies?
Yes.
The biography of the Scorpion King.
Walking Tall was peak Dwayne Johnson, and that was 20 years ago. That's my point.
But Ballers is good.
Eh, it's the same thing over and over again.
But he's not.
It's the same thing. It's fine. I got it. That's why he and Kevin Hart work well together. Is
I get what you're saying.
Same thing. And of the four that we presented,
odd that you would say Paul Rudd is awesome and he does the same thing. Just
you're right. That's why I switched to Bill Murray.
All right. Then
yeah, I formally dropped Paul Rudd to bring Debbie in. And
well, I mean,
right,
it's not even fair,
right? So, I thought because of like, oh, it's the aging thing, oh, he's funny, he's charismatic, but then, yeah, I was like, yeah, it's similar.
I got you
to The Rock. So, of the four of us,
I appreciate it.
Of the four of us between The Rock, Bill Murray, Rick, and Debbie, I would drop The Rock,
and I'd beat The Rock.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why you're arguing. Rick, you beat The Rock.
I beat The Rock. I beat.
And why did no one say Nicolas Cage?
He is an alien for sure. I don't know if we'll be able to come to a consensus on this one either, but
yeah, I think it's more of a show and tell. I'd be okay with Debbie. I'd be okay with Ben. What was yours? No, yours was The Rock.
The Rock.
I'm sticking with Bill Murray. I think he'd show them a great.
I would if I couldn't have Debbie, I would take Bill Murray. That would be my second. Rick and Levy, but you don't beat Bill Murray.
It's okay. I'm not mad. But if I meet you guys, if I meet the aliens alone, I'm taking
that's fair. My other backups were Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Okay.
Gordon Ramsay. And Rick, this is the person I thought you were going to go with, was Giorgio A. Tsoukalos, Aliens from Aliens. That guy from the History Channel. Yeah. I thought he would be a funny guy to take him. He's like, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life.
That guy would just get disintegrated in the first 3 seconds.
Right. That's why I didn't pick him. But in my head, I was like, that could be funny. On that note, I'm going to go get a drink from the bar. And we'll be back after the messages from our sponsor.
Shit, I broke another string. Don't worry. Call Ray over at Rocket Guitar Repair. Rocket Guitar Repair? Rocket Guitar Repair. With over 50 years playing, building, and repairing guitars, Rocket Guitar Repair can get your guitar repaired rocket quick. Call Rocket Guitar Repair at 678-400-3062 or visit rocketguitarrepair.com.
Guys, gentlemen, persons, we're going to start a new segment tonight called Beer Splaining, where we drunkenly try to explain to our audience something that already exists, something that already factually works. And instead of mansplaining it, we are going to beer splain it. And tonight's topic is, how does the internet work? Who would like to explain how the internet works?
I'll hop out there. So we all know birds aren't real. What do they do?
What do they do?
Obviously, the birds are the internet. We send our signals up to the birds, and the birds, through their, because why else would they make noise at 9 a.m. or chirp or caw, but translate a signal?
You know what? You're not.
And that
wrong.
Signal is the internet. So all the Wi-Fi. People like to think it's 5G. That's like, you know, the cells are in the whatever vaccination people thought it was. Nay, it's the birds.
Birds.
The birds are the internet flying around, making the connections. And that's why.
Two questions. One.
One answer.
First one. Have birds always been the internet and we just couldn't tap into them?
Yes.
Okay. You're welcome.
Birds have always been the internet.
Is the, as we progress in the advancement of the internet, is 5G just faster birds?
So as we discover the birds and learn how they communicate and connect with their surrounding landscape and other birds, we come up with new formats. And so we have to come up with new names, right?
Okay.
So if you think golf, right? So you have your birdie, your albatross, like that, you know, that sure. Bogey, that kind of concept. As we tapped into the birds, when we first saw birds, obviously, birds, you know, which is named the bird.
It's just birds,
you know, but that was before we were able to tap into the birds. And then if anyone remembers when they first had their cell phones, like we had an E on our cell phones. And no one really knew what the E was. And that was for evolve. And that's because we evolved and learned how to tap into the birds. And then it became 3G, 2G, LTE, 5G. You know, we're just figuring out new ways to have our birds communicate. And we just need to keep upping what that name is as we further evaluate how birds communicate.
I like it.
So that's what
I did not know that's how the internet worked. That's impressive.
Yes. It's a little known fact.
I mean, I'll go. I hope you guys are ready because I've come prepared with a presentation.
Ooh, are there PowerPoints?
It's a PowerPoint.
There it better be.
It's not a very well done PowerPoint.
Oh, there's actual.
But there's actually a PowerPoint.
Travis has way too much time on his hands.
The Bar Banter podcast presents How Does the Internet Work? The internet is a vast network of interconnected computers and devices that enables the exchange of information and communication across the globe. It works through a combination of hardware, protocols, and infrastructure. Here's a simplified explanation of how the internet works. Step one, get yourself a computer. That's it. You're done. Through the back-breaking labor of nerds and dweebs playing Magic the Gathering and writing steamy Star Wars fan fiction, they summon a demonic gateway that allows the transfer of data to and from their computers in order to share their geeky passions with one another. However, how does the data actually get from one computer to another? Well, step two is going to be you got to get the data to the router. So your data leaves your computer and is streamed via Wi-Fi to your router, which Wi-Fi, believe it or not, stands for Wonky Information Finder. That's what Wi-Fi stands for. And inside your router, your data will have to meet with several different people or go through several different parts of the router. Organization, navigation, being armed, and finally, judgment. Organization and navigation, your data is appropriately organized into info packets using the severed virtual remains of Microsoft's Clippy.
Mm.
Your router then has to determine where the data is going to travel to. Each router contains a singing map that lays the path for your data's journey. If there's a place you gotta get, I can get you there. I bet I'm the map. But the journey is treacherous. And it's dangerous to go alone. So we have to arm the data and we have to eventually judge the data. Your data needs weapons and armor. Through the encryptor, who's an ancient and powerful wizard, your data is enhanced with runic magic and antivirus shields. This will protect your data from hackers that still live in their parents' basement.
Mm.
However, your data cannot just follow the map freely, for this is a journey and there are rules. Some would even call them protocols. The dreaded ISP or internet sewage person determines the speed and cost of the journey. Lastly, your data can now leave on its journey to another computer or device. You can share pictures, music, or terrible podcasts with tens of other people that tell you you're funny just to make you feel better. And that, my friends, is how the internet works. Any questions?
Thousands. But I don't. All right.
Yeah, fair enough. Ben, Drew, how does the internet work?
Well, I clearly misread the topic because I thought the topic was what is the internet. I don't have a clue on how it works.
What is it? Tell me.
But I, for the last 4 minutes, all I've been able to do is sit here and expand on Rick's idea of the birds being the internet. I can't get it out of my head. Like I'm going back to like prehistoric time. Like what were they thinking? Now I'm thinking of like flocks of birds and ducks. And like, does that change, you know, connectivity? Like I don't even.
That's why your internet's slow. The internet.
Honestly, Rick, I think you could probably, you know, write a book, a believable book, and get it out there about why the birds and the internet are one and the same. And I think people would buy it.
Done.
And if you think about it, Ben, they eat the seeds of bushes and trees and fruits, and they spread those.
They're connected to everything.
And they just entire ecology systems that they've created just by themselves.
They're not just connected to each other. They're connected to everything. It's like a hillbilly family tree. Like they're all connected in a lot of different ways. Like I can't get it out of my head. So I'm going Rick on the birds, man. I'm a little blown away with the idea. So
the birds are internet. Drew.
All right. So I went back to the very start of the internet. Okay. And looking at how people thought of the internet back in the day, which would be like late 80s, early 90s-ish. And one of the ones that kept coming up, I think, is very super apt for. And Ben, I took this also as more of what is the internet.
Fair.
On top of, you know, how does it work? And the one that kept coming up for me was the internet is a highway. An information super highway. So if I'm looking for something on the internet, much like if I'm taking a road trip and I want something very specific, I'm going to pick a place and I'm going to go there. There might be some obstacles in the way of me finding what it is. Let's say I want to go gamble at a casino. I could do that on the road or on the highway or on the internet. If I'm going to Vegas, let's say, and I make it to Vegas, and yeah, there's the casinos and everything, but there's also all the bright lights, the pop-up ads.
All the lights.
A good portion of it is pornography. Or people just having sex.
That's what the internet is just
paying money for it. I had to bring it there at some point.
You're not wrong.
On the other hand, there's, you know, beautiful landscapes, and if I wanted to go find something truly beautiful, I could take the highway all the way up to the northeast and look at the colors change in Vermont or something like that. And again, you get bogged down by, let's say I wanted to go to Niagara Falls and I'm looking at this beautiful, beautiful falls. And then I turn around 180 degrees and there's a Planet Hollywood.
Mm.
And there's just so many obstacles to me trying to find exactly what I'm looking for. And it's not exactly built specifically the absolute best way, but there's ways to get where you want and what you want out of it. And you have to figure that out by driving around and figuring out the best route to get there. And there's a bunch of different examples that I could probably come up with or say more about. But yeah, I think it's a highway of interconnected places that you have to travel upon to get where you're actually going. And that's the internet.
Okay. So the internet is birds. It's whatever the hell I said. Or it's a highway. If we had to agree on what also, the internet is,
life is a highway.
Do you want to ride it all night long? What is now the internet forever? Drunkenly forever.
I gotta go with birds.
Birds.
Yeah, absolutely. I was halfway through my explanation. I was like, it's gotta be birds.
Birds. Guys, birds are now the new internet. They're not the the answer to my... Well, actually, it would work. When I was on the Jeff Jones and Friends Save the World podcast, I said that birds should just take our pictures for us. And yeah, they're already out there. They're already monitoring us. Like, let's go download our pictures that they're taking of us. So birds are the internet.
They can even tweet us.
I love that so much. I love that. Guys, better make it to the bar quick. It's time for last call.
For tonight's last call, we're going to guesstimate how much something costs, and it's going to be random things that can be from $0 up to $45 billion. Nice. And we're gonna go in order, starting with Travis, Rick, Danny, and then Ben, and then I'll say the order as we go. So starting with Travis, how much do you think it would be to rent out Six Flags for a day, one full day?
I'm gonna say it's $2 million.
Hi. Give me $250,000.
Danny?
$750,000.
Like it. $1, Bob.
I'm going to go $1.2 million.
I'm going to give out 5 points to Ben on this one.
Holy shit.
$1.2 million or approximately $100,000 an hour for a 12-hour day. That was the first answer that came up, and when I researched it a little bit, it was exactly that.
That's incredible.
The birds told me.
Birds told me. Oh, so you cheated is what you're saying.
That's what I heard.
I
did not cheat.
You used the internet. The birds.
I'm writing down all the stuff. I can't even.
You said you used the birds.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Anyway,
that's fair.
Next price. Next object.
All right. Starting with Rick this time, and then Danny, Ben, Travis. How much would it be to live in a missile silo? Lowest price you could think.
For the day, am I purchasing the missile
silo? No, you're purchasing this to live as a home.
Okay. 2.5 million.
I'm going to go $562,000.
Nice. That's got to be, because you got $1 million houses out there. I'm going to double what Rick said. I'm going to go 5 million.
Travis?
Well, I'm going to do the price right thing and say 6 million.
I was hoping Douche. For $1.
I was no, actually I think it's, as well.
I think it's over, so I didn't want to go 5.1 million, like five million.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go exactly closest without going over because we're dealing with ginormous numbers.
Sure.
But Danny, you're going to get a point for that.
Woo!
There's a missile silo in New York for $550,000.
Damn, Danny, that was close.
That's close enough.
And it has like 80 levels to it. Yep. And you can customize it however you want. I've actually looked it up before.
Drew, do you guys want to move to New York?
If you guys want a compound,
I mean,
I'm all for it.
$550,000.
It's not bad. Like, it's not like, bad.
That's just the
it's
house.
It's not bad.
That's just the like house.
Yeah. We can pretend like we're living in Zion, you know?
I'll send you the today. Website with the real estate listing because there is an actual real estate listing.
Please do.
I can't believe it's that cheap.
Next one, starting with Danny. Then Ben, Travis, and Rick. Danny. Book encyclopedia. A full set. Last one in the world that you can buy. How much do you think it costs? Came out in 2023.
I'm going to go $249.99.
I'm going to write $250 because I'm not doing that.
Okay, wait. Is it A to Z? And usually some extra ones in there. So 30 books. Hardback books are like $50. I don't know. $1,000.
Yep. Travis?
$500. I'll double date.
I was gonna guess $550 before Travis went. So give me $550.
Nice.
Damn it.
Even though he's over, I'm still gonna give it to Ben at $1,000 because the World Book of 2023, last one you can actually buy in physical format, is $1,199. So $1,199. This is a two-parter for you guys. I need two numbers. Going with
6 and 9.
Ben first, then Travis, then Rick, then Danny. How much does it cost to be cryogenically frozen? First number is going to be the entire body, and second number is going to be just your brain.
I'm going to go 5 million for the body and 1 million for the brain.
Okay, Travis?
Give me 2 million for the brain or for the body and 500K for the brain.
Mm-hmm. Rick?
I feel like the brain is more targeted, so give me 1 million for the body and then give me 2.5 for the brain.
Damn.
I just feel talking about cryogenic freezing for so long, and I can't imagine it's just that expensive anymore. So I'm going to go low and say
$1.
$1. Nobody's done it yet.
I'm going to go 5. Even that feels high, but I'm going to go 500 for the brain. And a million for the body. I feel like that's the lowest out there still.
Wow, you guys overshot it by a great margin. Technically, Danny is closest.
Yep.
Even with going way over, easiest ones I could find were 200,000 for the body and 80,000 for the brain. Hmm. That's an institute out of Arizona.
I'm going to get my brain cryogenically frozen.
Let's go for a little bit more of a fun one. How much to rent a bouncy castle for the day?
Fuck, I should know this one.
I thought of you when I was just, and Travis, you are up first.
I'm up. I'll say $500. Seems about right.
Richard?
Give me $300.
Danny?
$425.
Hey, Ben.
I'm gonna go $301, Bob.
It's okay. Apparently if you go over it still counts, so
it's wibbly wobbly and you will get the point for this, Rick. It is $165.
Nice, that is not true. That cannot be true.
I will send you the link.
You found the cheapest goddamn bounty castle because if you get like
I looked at the very top like five in our area and the average was about 165. I mean, there were some that were 200
an hour, sure.
I mean, no, not for an hour, for a 6-hour period, including delivery.
I used to rent them for the club, and that they were $400 with staff. So if you're talking about just renting the castle, no staff, I mean, that's not that far-fetched.
Let's go a little bit off the wall. How much would it cost to get delivered to your house a 55-gallon drum of sex lube?
Are we talking the A-plus stuff? Or are we talking...
This is just a literal, a blue barrel of sex, actual lube that you can use for sex. You can, after this, look it up on Amazon, because you can actually do this and get it by, like, Monday. How much would...
Gallon?
55-gallon drum of it. It even comes with a little spigot that you get to put in the top. And like push down on like a hand sanitizer pump. It's pretty cool.
What's the expiration
date? And we're going Rick, Danny, Ben, Travis.
$7.50.
I'm gonna go $600.
I'm gonna go $7 a gallon, 55. But I'm gonna go around $400.
Just because no one's done it yet, give me $1, Bob.
Nice.
I'm gonna give this one to Rick. Because
yes.
He is closest, a little bit over, but is...
I went $1 for this reason, because I thought everyone was over. Give me this goddamn...
No, not everyone was over. It's $711.66.
Okay, you're right.
And yeah. That 66 cents does count.
So proud of you, Rick. You know you're late.
I hate this game.
I don't know about that.
And I actually want you guys... I want you guys to look it up on Amazon, because it's a true thing that you can get delivered. This one is a little bit, you just gotta think outside the box a little bit, but how much would it be to start your own country? We're talking bare bones minimum, everything you have, declare independence, infrastructure's already there. How much do you think it would be to start your own country? We're going with Danny first.
I feel like this is what you're alluding to with the billion numbers, so I feel like that's where we have to be, because you have to have like a certain amount of capital to do that. So I'm gonna go, I can't remember the name you said, I'm gonna go $30 billion.
$30 billion to buy your own country or start your own country?
Sure.
I'm gonna go a little bit lower.
just a little bit.
I'm gonna stay in the billions, but I'm gonna go $2 billion.
I think you guys are out of your mind if you think it's $1 trillion.
Trap.
No idea.
5 million.
Okay. Rick?
There's no way. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So
it can't be a billion.
I got to buy a house. I got to buy an acre of land. So a house, 300,000 acre of land, depending on where I'm at. 250. Give me 550,000. Because this has to be something I just have to mail like a letter.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a good country, just to be a quote country. Yeah. Give me 550,000.
This is the one I think could be spun off into its own actual topic, because I think Rick was a little bit more on it. It's complicated, but the easiest way to do it, I looked up, was to buy your own island with the infrastructure already built in. And those islands are easier to just break apart from whatever country they're already a part of. If you're in the United States already, harder to just buy an acre of land and be like, I'm my own place now, peace out, motherfuckers. So, taking all of that into account, the average lowest I could conceivably find was about 1.6 5 million. So I think the point goes to Rick.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Like, yeah, Indonesia has all islands. Yeah, it'd be easier just to,
the Bahamas, the like lowest island you can buy is like 80,000, I think. Yeah. But it doesn't involve like running water and that kind of thing. So
sure. Yeah, it's not a great country.
Yeah. On top of that, how much do you guys think it is to buy the planet Earth?
God. The entire Earth.
Yeah, to just an average, if you were it's kind of more conceptually what the net worth of the entire world is. That would be Ben, Travis, Rick, Dan.
Oh, I don't know. $7 trillion, Bob.
That's a good guess.
Okay. Travis?
I'm going to say to buy the entire Earth, a million. Because I don't know what parameters you used to, like, did you, like, calculate all of the country's GDP? Did you calculate all of the people? Did you just calculate via resources? I don't know how you calculated this. So
that's a lot of
the fun of it.
Yeah,
that's the fun of it.
If you were,
I know. That's why I'm
thinking back to our other topic. If the alien species touchdown was like, take me to your leader, how much would it cost to just straight up purchase this bitch,
bro? If we're talking aliens, we're a garbage planet. Give me $1. We're a garbage ass planet.
Good.
We'll buy it for $1.
All right.
And I swear to God, if everyone else goes over and you give it to someone else, I'll be furious.
Rick.
Yeah, because I have to. That means I have to buy out Elon Musk and Jimmy Buffett. Yep.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, the numbers Jimmy at this point are—they're ridiculous.
Give me a quadrillion. $1 quadrillion is what it would take.
I'm gonna go, because So Apple just became a $1 trillion company. So I think, Ben, I think you're going to be way under, honestly. But I'm going to go to $500 trillion.
$500 trillion, so half a quadrillion. All right.
I think Travis is going to be way under.
No, yeah, Travis, I appreciate it.
Travis is as the most under you can actually get in the scenario.
If we're on a galactic scale,
they're going to pay me.
If we're talking aliens and how much... If they have their own Dyson spheres around planets, our planet is worthless to them. So it's probably
Dyson spheres without explaining what they are.
It's fine.
I'm more curious to see what Drew researched to get his number on this one than I am our guesses.
These were top 10 Google searches and aggregating those. That's what it was, Rick.
All right. I like it.
Real Rick, research.
You actually win this one, it would be $5 quadrillion. So you're close.
That's way under. That's still way under.
Crushing it.
Okay. And last one, just because I thought it was real funny. How much would it cost to just buy a dead body? Starting with Travis, Rick, Danny, Ben.
I don't think it's that expensive. Let's say $200.
Give me $1,000.
Okay. Danny?
$3,500, Bob.
Okay, Ben.
I'm gonna go 1,500.
I will give it to Ben.
Boom.
Then, because lowest I could find was $3,000, and average price was around $4,000 to $5,000, and that was for medical cadavers.
Totally
not
me.
Not on the black market. You have to have licenses. Yeah. And
Danny said $3,500, by the way.
Or sorry, I'm sorry, Danny. $3,500.
I got you, boo. He's called, so she gets points, but it's my points because
that's expensive. I did not know cadavers were that much money. I feel like it's not so much for the cadaver. It has to do with like the logistics of it, right? It
kind of is, yeah.
But, like in all bit. The regulations and stuff that comes with it.
I mean, if you really wanted to not go through those channels, you could probably get it for cheaper.
Yeah, like $25, you know,
or just make your own.
Somebody want to get a body out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Make your own. I heard you, Drew.
DIY.
So to tally up the scores, I have 0 points. Danny has 3 points. Rick has 4 points. And Ben, with the 5-pointer in the very beginning,
Yep. You get 6 points.
Boom.
There's no way we could have caught. Well, we could have caught you.
You absolutely could have. But
yeah, hitting it off the jump on that first one.
On the 1 point, dude, I was really surprised about that. You hit that.
You crushed it. Crushed. Well done. Birds. Guys, this was fun. I enjoyed these. These were fun topics. Let's do this again sometime, shall we? That'd be great. Cool. For our listeners, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us in some other places. I don't remember all the places, but you can find us there. But whatever, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, this is our podcast and you're just along for the ride. That's what it is. The ride.